Hello, hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your girl Mitzi, and this is Mitzi. Let's think about it. Today, we are thinking about where my mojo go in the bedroom. Where did it go? Oh my goodness. This is what a lot of people are saying nowadays because it's the facts, you know, it's happening throughout time, throughout age. It is happening. Well, luckily for me, I brought Pauline back because she actually brought this to my attention. I'm pretty sure we're going to dive in deeper in, but just thank you again, Pauline, for coming back onto my show for round two. This is super exciting. I am glad to have you back here so I could pick your mind, but I'm curious, does this come in front of you often?
A lot all the time.
Yeah.
That's one of the main things I work on for women of all ages is getting their libido back. So it's
Yeah.
not just the standard cliche, oh, when you're in menopause. I've worked with women in their 20s, right through to their 60s.
Yeah, I know. I
So
that's
it's
true.
common across the board. You can't say this category of person. It happens for, and it happens for a variety of reasons. So I guess my job is to look at what's the underlying core issue to getting that situation? You know, everyone's benefit.
Have you found a pattern yet?
There are patterns, but it depends on which channel it's coming from.
Okay.
You know, like,
Okay.
I mean, for myself, personal share here, you know, I lost my mojo when I was married. I was married for 16 and a half years and divorced a long time. And I just wasn't interested in sex. I didn't know why. I just wasn't sure what was going on, and I had shut it down, but I didn't know that I'd shut it down because we protect ourselves,
Yeah.
we shut it down. But at that time, I didn't realize that that's what I was doing. And occasionally, my husband would sort of like, you know, tap me on the shoulder in bed, like to have sex. And I always joke, you know, because we all like that, getting that tap on the shoulder, not. But we weren't communicating, we weren't connecting. And I'd relent and it'd be like amazing. And we'd have great sex. And I'd be like, oh my God, that was amazing. Why don't I want to have sex more often?
Yeah.
And so I sat with that and started thinking, oh, maybe I'm going through early menopause. So I went off and got tested. And they're like, nope, years away, years and years away. And I was like, oh, well, what's going on? So it made me really sit and look at the marriage. And so for me, I realized my marriage was over. There was no connection. We were just living life like this.
Yeah,
And we
like
just had
roommates.
a child between us. Yeah, we had a child between us. We had different parenting. I did, like, everything was just different. And so it was like the day our marriage, you know, things happened and it came to a head and he left. And the day that he left, I'm like in turmoil. I'm crying. I'm like, what am I, how am I going to cope being a single mum,
Yeah.
blah, 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 and all the stuff. And I was a mess. And in the middle of all this turmoil and mess, I started feeling all these weird sensations. And I was a bit sort of fidgety going, what's going on? And then I'm like, oh my God, my mojo had come back, my libido had come back on steroids. And I'm like, oh, what the hell? Now I don't even have a husband. What am I going to do? Like, it was just insane. And it was in that moment that I realized I had shut my mojo down without sort of realizing. But I also had this knowing that I was never going to do it again. I didn't know what that meant. So that was sort of part of the start of this journey for me doing this work.
Yeah,
So
that's very interesting.
yeah.
It's interesting because I've spoken with a lot of women where they said that that kind of happened when they knew that the relationship was done or the marriage was over. It's just like sex was the first thing to get off the table, and then everything else kind of just revealed itself. But I mean, I've also heard it when women, after giving birth, they lose their mojo, you know, because I'm not gonna lie, that's what happened to me. Like after I given birth, I was like, psh, don't look at me, don't touch me. Psh, that's off the table. So it's like I feel like I'm completely shut down. But when I have sex with my husband, it's amazing. It's like, oh my God. But it's just like I don't say it's over because there's still a lot of connection and communication, but it's just like when it comes to that part, it's just like, I'd rather not.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this is a very common thing with new mothers because, you know, A, we've been through a whole lot birthing, carrying this child, birthing this child. Sometimes we have postnatal depression. I know I did. It was undiagnosed back then, but I know 100% I had postnatal depression. you know, if your birth doesn't go to plan, mine didn't. It was the complete opposite of everything that I was hoping it would be. So there's lots of those sort of equations. And then you're being a mother and you're constantly, there's a demand on you 24/7. There's no rest period. You grab your sleep when they're asleep if you can and let the dishes pile up or whatever, or you do a quick whiz and then you try and sleep. They wake up in the night, you're the one that they want, you know, especially if you're breastfeeding. So there is this huge demand on you. So it's just like, time out. I can't have any more demand on my body. Yeah. So it's sort of quite a natural process. And I think this is something that I think is an unsticking point, if that's the right word, because, you know, a lot of people go into their birth with a birth plan.
Yeah.
But yeah. What's not looked at is after birth plan. And this is something that I twigged on. I wrote a blog on it ages, years ago. And so it's like, wouldn't it be great if that was incorporated in your birth plan, your after birth plan, not about having sex, but having the connection with your partner. What can you do to keep connected, to keep them still engaged and not feeling like they're the third wheel, because they literally, your priorities shift, baby's number one, and their pecking order does shift. We can't deny that. That happens. It's realistic. It's primal. It's natural instinct. Everything's about the baby, partner's down the bottom of the pile. And yeah. Slowly over time, that status can go further and further down the ladder. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what about looking at what an aftercare birth plan looks like so that you can still be connecting with each other?
Yeah, that's important.
You know, different, like, so bringing in some of the tantra stuff that I do where you can have that intimate connection without sex. And it could be even like him just saying, would you like a massage? And you'll probably be going, oh, yes. But a massage without expecting it to go to sex.
Yeah.
Talking about those things and what those things look like and trying to have a night together if you're fortunate enough to have someone that can watch the baby for a couple of hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I see, like, what you're saying.
Park together or go for a walk together or just something more on your own.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of different things that you can come up with. It's about you getting creative, but at least having those conversations discussed. And, you know, they I don't know if it's still the same these days, but they do recommend not to have sex for 3 months after birth. I don't know if that's the same thing now.
No, it does. It is. It's the same thing now, but the problem is that after the 3 months, the guys are like hornballs and they're just like, oh, well, now you're in the clear, so now it's my turn. And it's just like, okay, I'll throw you the ball.
And so then that's another thing. It's about, you know, when you go to have sex, there is always usually some hesitancy because you've just pushed out this huge baby, so you've got no idea what it's going to be like to have something penetrating you. So there is a little bit of fear and anxiety. So it's so important to make sure that you're super aroused, super lubricated, and go really, really, really slowly, because otherwise it's just going to be not pleasant, not comfortable, and what it does is build up resentment. So it just pushes that desire to have sex even further down the way.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
It's not just mothers, new mothers that go through this. It's all ages for all sorts of different reasons.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I mean, of course, not just for new mothers, but as a personal experience, when I heard this, I was just like, yeah, I would like to know it more from my experience. But from what you're saying in general, I mean, it makes sense why just women just turn it off sometimes, you know, they just protect themselves out of, you know, just of the environment. And I think that's the biggest one that I've always encountered as well, is because as soon as you realize that you're not in a good situation, your body automatically tries to protect themselves. So your sexuality is very, very, like, you know, it's very protected, you know, it's like a pearl, it's a jewel, you know? So we're going to want to try to protect that as much as possible. But it comes down to, how do we actually get ourselves to start, you know what I mean, going back and like tapping into my mojo, because you said you're as soon as you were peace of mind and you were finally calm again, mentally, physically, spiritually, your libido and your mojo just came right back, like just ready, full charge. So how do you
Oh,
handle that?
that was a little bit extraordinary, I must say. That's pretty rare for it to just naturally come back, I find, because I find with women, that they're going through this period for, it's not like 6 months, it's a couple of years, and then they come to me because the relationship's falling apart, or they realize that they need to get back to having sex and they don't want to have sex, all that sort of stuff sort of comes into play. So, it very rarely fires back up on its own. I mean, the majority, there's a high percentage that do, but there's also a high percentage that doesn't. And that's where we do the work to start getting things moving. But looking at all the things that are contributing to why they've lost their mojo. I've just had a, I'm working with a couple actually at the moment separately. And they've been married for 20 years. They love each other to bits. They're like, it's like their second arm. They cannot imagine life without each other. But a couple of years ago, she turned around and said to him, "I'm not sexually attracted to you anymore." Like a knife in his heart. And he's stayed, and he's just trying to cope. And they haven't had sex for a couple of years. And so it's like, well, why is that? Why did that happen? And there was two things for her that contributed to it. One was, they were moving to Australia from wherever. They were making the plans, and then he got offered a really good job. So he came out earlier, and then she was left to finish up everything at home. But then COVID hit. So they actually separated for 2.5 years because of COVID. So that was one thing. But going further back from when she had her babies, like you said, he was like ready to go. He'd have sex 3 times a day if he could. And so he's really hassling her to have sex. And she relented when she just was not interested at all. And so therefore she wasn't aroused, she wasn't into it. And then there was resentment that kicked in as well. So it was a combination of that and then being separated for all that period. They spoke every day on Zoom and phone and, a couple of times a day. So it wasn't like they weren't communicating. But that was a big part of it. Plus a little bit of a fantasy that was in there because she met someone in that time. She didn't sleep with them, but she had this amazing sexual connection, chemistry with this person, and it scared her. She didn't have that with him. And I'm like, yeah, but you've got to realize that's a fantasy. And when you sometimes meet someone and you've got that really crazy sexual connection straight up, that's as much as it feels great and we like that, it's actually usually not the healthiest connection to start with. Because it can often mean past life stuff. Like, I'm not going to get into all of that, but it can sort of mean lots of other different reasons as to why that connection has come in so strongly. So she's been living this fantasy. She's realizing that now. And I know she loves him, so it's just a matter of time. I'm hoping
That's
very
true.
soon.
That's true. I mean, I'm glad you brought that up about the fantasy portion of it, because a lot of people don't talk about that. You know what I mean? A lot of people don't acknowledge the fact that half of the time when we start getting attracted to someone, it's usually a lot of it's in our mind, and it becomes a fantasy, and it becomes a not real, you know what I mean? So I just think I'm glad that you brought that up, because more people need to acknowledge that sometimes that sexual like tension that you feel with somebody is all built up energy that you basically built up during time of what you wanted or desired, and now you see somebody that meets that quote on picture, and when you have that person, you're disappointed because you realize it's not what you actually wanted. I mean, that's how I see it, and that's how I think of it. I mean, in your opinion, what do you think about that?
Yeah, no, 100% agree. You can fantasize about X, Y, Z, and then you act out on it, and it's just not what the fantasy was. I know that's happened to me several times, and I've had clients that have had that happen. And I go, sometimes a fantasy is that, full stop. It's a fantasy. Acknowledge that it's a fantasy, and that's why it has the effect on you, but it doesn't always mean that you have to actually act out on that fantasy because it doesn't always match up. I mean, yeah, it, especially when it's outside of your relationship. You know, I've got another couple that are going through stuff, and his big thing is she doesn't want to have sex anymore, but she's working on that. But meanwhile, he's going, nah, separated. He's actually coming on to do coaching with me now, which I said, we'll just focus on you, on him, not the partner, just on him and getting, clearing all his resentment and stuff. And then maybe there might be space for him to say, yeah, I'll do a session with her to see if as a last sort of thing. But because I said to him he wanted to open up the marriage because he wants to have sex, but he wants to stay there because of the kids. And I'm like, you know, it might sound great as a fantasy to bring another person in, but I said, you know, it's only sex and it's not going to be sustainable. If it's just meeting someone up for sex, it can only last a short period.
Yeah.
Because we all ultimately desire that connection. That's a human trait. So it's a fantasy to think, great, I'm getting my sexual needs met because I'm going on a date with someone. You'd be better off going to pay a prostitute where it's just business transaction and it's done.
Yeah.
Because there's too many variances of what can happen. He could fall for someone, she could fall for him, and then he's not honouring the partner and the kids, which is what he wants to do. So I said, it's murky waters that where you're treading for short-term gratification.
That's it right there, the short-term gratification. Sadly to say, that's a lot of the times what people's main objective is. It's just that short-term sensation, that gratification right there, because they're not worried about that long-term. But in actuality, it's like you said, it's that connection that we're longing for, you know, when people just put it in the wrong category, in the wrong section, in the wrong person. In reality, you just need to refocus on yourself. So for the fact that you told that man, let's go with you, you know, let's focus on you real quick before we bring her into the equation, because, you know, you ain't peachy clean either. You know, everybody has their demons and everybody has their problems where they just resist sexually, you know, in some way, and they project it out in another way. I mean, that's what it sounds like. Am I right?
Yeah. And it sort of has put me in a little bit of an awkward position, because initially he came on to one of her coaching sessions to have a consult. And he agreed to to having sessions with me because we talked unpacked from his perspective, and both of them had written me 20-page novel emails about what had been going on. And then, so that was all set up to go. And then a week later, she emails me and says he doesn't want to do the coaching. I'm like, oh, okay, that's interesting. He's flipped both. So I said I'd ring him. So I eventually rang him and had a chat, and we had a big conversation, and he's come on board and sessions are starting. But he's not told her. So he told her, I spoke to Pauline and she's messaged me, oh, X said he spoke to you, and I just had to ignore it. And then when we had our session, I had to sort of gauge from her, what did he tell you about our conversation?
Because
I said, I'm not telling her that we're doing the coaching, so I've got to like just say to her, we just have to focus on you.
Yeah, exactly. You got to keep that professional line as well. You got to give him that privacy and that respect.
Yeah, 100%. But I've gone back to her to say, let's just focus on you and what you came to me about. And I said, when you're in a more empowered position, you'll know what you want to do. Because at the moment, she's just going, yes, 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 to keep peace.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
I'm honoring herself, but I get her position. She's got two kids that have got disability needs. And appointments and things. I sort of get where she's at.
But that's the nice thing, you can see it from both ends of the spectrum. I'm curious, do you think pleasure has the biggest like a part of the equation when it comes to losing your mojo? Do you think if there's no more pleasure in the bedroom, then that's what allows your mojo to start slipping away as well? Or what is your thoughts on that?
Look, it can be, certainly for some women, you know, like there's plenty of women out there that don't orgasm, so they go through the motions. There's plenty of women out there that, you know, have had some form of trauma that they haven't addressed, so they're checked out. So everyone's interpretation of pleasure, you know, we all look at, you know, what we see in the movies as the ultimate thing, but there's so many different ways to receive pleasure, but we're all focused on that end goal instead of, you know, sex is really about being focused on that end goal of you know, getting to the end. And what I teach is not the end but the bit in between, that journey and experiencing journey and coming back into your body and being present. So I always look at what's going on with the person and why aren't you not having pleasure. Did you ever have pleasure with your partner? Did you ever enjoy it? So when did it shift? What's in that timeline of when you were experiencing pleasure and enjoying it to when you weren't? What's happened in between? And that's what I did with that couple that had were apart for a while. That was also a part of the equation. And then I'm like, oh, I didn't realize it was because you were COVID separated. That has a big impact.
That does.
So it's about looking at all the underlying core issues as to why you're not having pleasure. You know, have you had pleasure before? Have you enjoyed sex before? Now you're not enjoying sex. So what are all the things that are coming into play that are contributing to you not enjoying sex? Are you drinking a lot of alcohol? Are you taking drugs? If you're doing that, that's a disconnection, but why are you doing it? What's created that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a new client coming on has been a drug addict for 40 years, clean for four. And I said, oh, I want to get to, he goes, oh, I know what the reason is. Well, the psychiatrist told me over the years. I said, what? He said, well, I was 12 and my brother died. So that's the trauma that started it. I said, okay, well, that's a good start point. We'll start looking at that. So I can start clearing the trauma. Then we can start, because that's where he turned to the drugs. It was his numbing thing, because maybe it was something really horrific that happened to his brother.
Yeah.
Other than just a standard sort of dying. You know, it sounds like to me that it was something quite traumatic involved. So it's about looking at that. I mean, you know, there's medications can interfere with your libido for men and women. So what medications are you on? You know, are you on antidepressants? They can get in the way. Do you have depression? You know, how long have you had it for? What was the start point of that? Do you have awareness of where that started?
Yeah.
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. So many things, you know, lack of self-worth and your body changing, especially for women. Our bodies change and we don't love it. I am definitely not loving my body right in this moment in time. I don't let it hold me back in any way, but I'm carrying more weight than I would like. And because of my age, it's so much harder to shift it. So this is a battle for me, but I don't let it get in the way. And I still love myself and have good self-image. And until I look at myself in a dress in the mirror, I go, oh my God. Because I can see myself and go, oh, no, I've got too much weight on. But if I don't look in the mirror, I'm fine. No, I still look in the mirror and tell myself I love me. But, you know, it's important to all those aspects can contribute.
Exactly. I mean, that's true.
Are you in your head all the time?
That's true. I mean, like, you bring up really great points that people don't really take into consideration. They always think, oh, there's just an easy, simple button to press to give you the problem of why you no longer have this arousal in the bedroom. But it's more than that. You know what I mean? It sounds like it's truly more than that. People have to take into consideration, you know, their situation, their age, their time frame. What are they taking in? What are they eating? I mean, what are they drinking? Exactly. Like, there's like this spinning wheel that they just got to keep spinning and figuring out, okay, where is it landing? Check on that. Where is it landing now? Check on that. Because it's so much more, but people need to realize that our sexuality does have a big impact on our lives more than what we imagine. I mean, it sounds like having this and like keeping the arousal in the bedroom is very important. That intimacy, is that true?
Yes, definitely. It's important to keep the intimacy, even if you're not being sexual. And there's different levels of intimacy, I think. You know, there's intimacy of just hanging on the couch, holding hands, or having a cuddle while you watch TV. That's intimacy. Going to the shops, holding hands. That's intimacy. You know, intimacy is even just being in the kitchen cooking a meal together. not you cooking it and then going, here's dinner, but you're both getting in there and do it. That sort of, you know, it's a time of connection and bonding.
Yeah.
And then we have intimacy in the bedroom that's non-sexual, and then we have sexual intimacy, and then we have sex. And communication is a really, really big part of that. If you can't communicate to your partner about anything and everything, then you're not going to be able to communicate about what's going on for you, what you're feeling. It's not about you. It's about, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not feeling like I'm ready to have sex because blah, 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 this is what I'm feeling or this is what I'm going. Like, you've got to be able to communicate that. And sometimes people, I've got a great slide that I use in my talks. You know, we have that saying called the elephant in the room. You know there's a problem, but you don't talk about it. Well, I've got this great picture of a couple sitting in bed with an elephant. So it's not an elephant in the room, it's an elephant in the bed. And it's just a classic. I don't know where I found that photo years ago. And it's true. And I love this quote. I probably won't have it completely correct, but a lot of people probably heard of Jay Shetty, American guy, wrote the 8 Rules of Love or Relationships or something. One of his quotes was, people are, they want to trade short-term discomfort for long-time dysfunction.
Ooh, that's deep.
I know. I love that. So it's too hard to talk about the problem, so therefore you're creating much longer dysfunction. And it's so true.
Yeah, it really is.
So if you can talk about, and some people can talk about everything, I can't talk about what's going on in the bedroom.
Yeah.
And it's key. That's part of being in a relationship.
It is.
It's part of the connection. It's part of the package, really.
Yeah, to be honest, it is part of the package. I mean, I've seen this one quote that says, if someone cannot get your mind right, what makes you think they'll get your body right? You know what I mean? So it's just like, that's a big statement right there, because your mind and your body's connected, sweetheart. You have to remember that this is one big package. It may feel like 5 million balloons in one, but no, we are one unit functioning together.
100%. So there's so many layers and levels as to why the mojo goes. So it's really about, you know, if you can't dissect it and work it out, then come to someone like myself that can. And it's sometimes for me it's so obvious, and other times it's not. And with this couple that had the break through COVID, it wasn't an easy find. Yeah. But as I went through a history of what had been going on, and then bang, and even like a friend of mine desperately needs to bring her daughter to me. I've met the daughter too and had a chat to her at a party, so it wasn't appropriate. She's like 22 and has no sex drive whatsoever. And she's married a year. And I just looked at her and said to her, okay, so how was it when you lost your virginity? And she went, I went, there you go. So, and just, I said, I'll just leave that with you, and left it. Mm-hmm. So, because she's so young, it's like she's either had some abuse or something happened when she's lost her virginity. Because let's face it, when we lose our virginity, the I would say the percentage of women that had a crap experience is much higher than the percentage of women that have a beautiful experience. When I hear women tell me they had a really beautiful loss of virginity, I'm like, oh, I'm so happy for you. That's so wonderful, because it's so rare that I hear that. And I've heard thousands and thousands and thousands of women. So, you know, think back to when you lost your virginity. I know when I think back to mine, it was just a nightmare, nightmare. So they're things that can, luckily for me, touch wood on my table, it's not something that made me disconnect. Well, it wasn't the things that made me disconnect or not enjoy sex, because eventually I got to enjoy sex and love sex.
Yeah.
But for some women, that can be part of the continuing reason of why they're in their head or why they're checked out up here. And then we've got abuse. If we've had any form of trauma, doesn't have to be sexual, but any form of trauma or abuse or situations, they put us in flight, fight, freeze mode. And if those traumas are unresolved, then we're checked out. We will be in our heads 100%, or a lot of times we're not even in our bodies, but we're out here somewhere, we're out in the cosmos because it's not safe to be in our bodies. We have to bring that safety.
Exactly. You said it's so beautiful. You said it's so, and it's just wrapping up. You know, I hate this, but then sometimes I love it at the same time because it truly leaves everyone off with something to think about. Because yeah. As a woman, it makes you think about your virginity. It makes you think about your soul. And it makes you think about your experiences. It makes you think about, like, even to the simplest, how did I sleep? You know what I mean? Or what have my thoughts been going into my mind? Have they been positive? Have they been, goodness. Every single thing really makes you think about this in a different way. And it truly, it's not spoken enough. It's not. And that's why I'm so glad to have you on my show and so that we can talk about this and share this type of content with the world, because it's needed, because there's so many women who go through this. And obviously, you know, since you've been doing this for so long, but I think this brings a different light because it allows women to know that they're not alone. You know what I mean? And that's the most important reason why I love to bring this out. Yeah, it's very common. And I think
sometimes women will come to me with certain things and I go, it's okay. I have heard it all before. It's just a variation of your story. So there's nothing sort of like new, but just, you know, tell me what you can tell me. And then we start talking and we sort of dissect it and look at the whole picture, because that's what it's about. It's about the whole picture. You've got this incident. There could be five or six things that are streaming in to contribute to that, like the new guy coming on that's the drug addict or ex-drug addict, I should say. There is like, one, two, without even going into the consult, I've already got like five or six paths of things that are contributing to his situation right now, of why he's coming to me.
Yeah, you know? I believe it. I believe it 110%. Add the extra 10 for that sprinkles because it's needed.
I should want to mention this too, because it's not something I ever thought about in my youth. That's for sure. It's something that's been more in my awareness more as I do this work, is that, you know, we are a vessel, and so we forget that we hold the power really in the bedroom. You know, like in Tantra, you know, it's very much that we are the vessel, and so we're inviting a man into inside of our bodies. So looking at the men that we've had, you know, they leave an imprint in us.
Yeah.
So it's about really looking at how do we clear that from our system, the energy of that person that's been inside us, you know. And so that's something that's quite new in my frontal vision, I guess, is it's really important to look at that aspect and be more selective.
Yeah, no, selective is the great word. Selective is the perfect word. I think more women and even men, I mean, just the fact of choosing and selecting correctly, because things most definitely linger that people don't realize. And it's, unfortunately, we don't have the time to continue talking. Oh my goodness. I think we're going to have to get a part three, because Paula, we are getting a ton of great information, Pauline, and we're just, I don't know what to do with you. I don't want to do it to you. I'm going to just need to bring you back some more every year. We're going to have a new topic, because goodness, the amount of things that people need to start thinking about sexually needs to be brought out to the global mindset, if that's the right way to say it.
And you know, and then we haven't even touched on porn and its influence.
I know.
That's a really big problem. You know, and the porn industry is just humongous.
I know. Maybe that'll be our next topic, right? Next topic will be about porn, so that we can really dive into that, because goodness, because it goes into sex slavery, goes into trafficking, and goes into, oh my goodness, so many things. Goodness, no. We're not going to get into it right now, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to have to wait for another round. So we're going to call it quits for today. Please check out Pauline. If you want to know more about her and her beautiful mind and what she has to offer, please, I have her lovely photo on my website. Go check it out. It'll also be there with the last conversation we had about sex therapy, just diving into it. Now we're going deeper, and then we're going to keep on going deeper. So get comfortable because me and Pauline, we are going to be doing our thing. So,
We're a team.
exactly, we are a team. We got this going on. So, stay tuned. Always keep thinking, y'all. Bye.